Bible Believers Fellowship airs a half-hour Bible study program each week. You can find them permanently posted for free download at bbfohio.com. And you can listen to the latest half-hour study by listening Saturdays at noon and Sundays at 9:30 p.m. on 91.5 Freedom FM. Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of bbfohio.com and part one of our two-part study on the Feast of Israel and the Christian. In our expository study of the Epistle to the Church in Galatia, Galatians chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. We'd like to start by sharing a letter we love that came to us from Italy. This letter comes from a brother, Robbie. He says, "Dear Pastor Greg, I have already sent you an email a few months ago. I don't know if you remember." And yes, we do remember. And Robbie continues, "I would like to thank you once more from the bottom of the heart for the amazing job you are doing. May the Lord bless you with your family and your church. I am learning a lot from your teachings, and I watch your videos and listen to your radio program on a daily basis. Please keep preaching the truth of the gospel. I believe that people like you are desperately needed in this apostate Christian, in quotes, world in which we live. I live in Rome and work in the Vatican. I got saved last year, and you have played a very important role in my spiritual growth. I found the only Bible-believing fundamentalist Baptist church that uses the King James Bible and teaches dispensationalism. And for me, it has been a blessing ever since, even if it counts less than 10 members. Thank you again, brother, and may the Lord bless you. Robbie." And isn't that great? God is good. And we certainly thank the Lord for what He is doing in Robbie's life and for using this ministry to reach people all over the world. And we hear these same type of stories, small groups meeting and using our studies by video usually, or playing the audio as a basis for study. And if you would like to write to us and let us know what the Lord's doing in your life, you can write to our U.S. postal address, Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. Or you can go to our website at bbfohio.com and use the Contact Us form that we've added to the front page. That's bbfohio.com or P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085.
Let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer before we start our study. Brother John, would you open the study prayer?
Amen. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the presence of your faith and our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the precious blood that cleanses from every single sin. And we thank you, Lord, that you desire to fellowship with us this morning. We just pray right now you be lifted up, you be glorified. There's so many fears that are going on in this world that you've been going in our hearts right now. We pray, Lord, that you'll take your word and dispel those fears. So you're going to take care of us through that heavenly trouble that are headed our way. We just pray, Lord, you share the word with us. May it sink into our hearts. May it be treasured in this day forward. In Christ's name we pray.
Amen. All right, let's read the text, beginning in verse 8. "Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain." Now we begin by contrasting our position now as an heir of God through Christ, which we studied in our last Galatian study. And we're looking back at our B.C. days. How many of you know what B.C. days are? Before Christ days. Amen.
does not mean before the common era.
No. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. Now that's true. Even if you were just a plain old heathen, you made yourself a god.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Who was your god? You were your god. Yeah. And that describes most people today, including most professing Christians. They don't seek the wisdom of the Word for the things they do and the choices they make. It's all about their own opinion. And it's amazing to me. You know, I put a lot of time and effort into these studies. And those 11th hour news clips that we do, those are like 15 minutes. It takes me almost 10 hours just to make a 15-minute clip. Because we want to make them not only they look decent, but I really don't put a lot of time into how it looks. I put a lot of time into the research and the information provided because I want it to be accurate. And yet, every time you post those things and these people come along and they start before they even watch it. They just, you know, without even checking the information that we provide to see if maybe they don't know it all, they automatically begin to comment. And it's amazing to me. You know, when someone brings up a subject I don't know something about, tell me if I'm wrong, but I mean, my attitude is always, oh, that's interesting. Let me hear that. And then I'm going to go check you out.
Amen.
But my attitude isn't, you know, or let's say there's something that I have studied, but you have a different perspective on, I'll listen. And then I'm going to go check you out. Now, don't get offended if I find out you're wrong. Amen?
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
If I find out you're wrong, and then I come back and we discuss it, and I say, well, I actually don't agree with that. Don't get mad at me, but I'm just going to check you out to see if it's really true. Now, if it's something I've stated, and you say something, I'm like, well, no, wait a minute. Now, the fact is this and that. That's what we're here for, folks. Don't get angry. Amen? I mean, some of you know we have these conversations. We've had them. It's iron sharpeneth iron.
Amen.
But if you're going to be a stick of butter, you're not going to like this place. You're going to get sliced all the time. Amen? It's up to you whether you're going to be a butter or an iron. You're going to be butter, you're going to get sliced. Because everybody else around here is told to be an iron. And we're to sharpen one another with the facts, with the truth.
Amen.
And so we come out with something. If someone can show you something that you didn't know, Friday night we all got together at the house and watched The Noble Lie. It's a documentary about the Oklahoma City bombing, the Murrah Federal Building in 1995. Back in like 96 even, right a year after that happened, I bought the government story, hook, line, and sinker. And somebody came up to me and said, you can't really tell me you believe that nonsense. I said, what are you talking about? That? And I thought I knew. I thought I knew the facts. And so they started telling me these things. I said, I don't believe that. They said, hey, don't believe me. Go do your research. I started doing my research and I found out the stuff they were saying were true.
Amen.
I mean, we were told there was one guy with a truck bomb. How many of you... I'm going to ask you to raise your hands. If you think that today, I'm telling you, you bought a lie.
Yeah, amen.
And you can see video. You can see video reports in this video we have now, and you can also see other video. There was another video called In Plain Sight that was about 9/11, but they showed the thing about Oklahoma City. And in that video, shows additional video where the locals who saw the thing happen, the people whose loved ones died in the building, the news reporters in Oklahoma, the military personnel that were there, the local police force that was there, all said there were at least 3 bombs inside that building. And inside that building, not in a truck. And only one of them went off. They took 2 off the premises. They've got video of it happening. Now, go out and read a government book on Oklahoma City and you will find out that none of that is reported. It's just a truck in front of the building. What am I telling you? I'm telling you, you've got to question everything you see and hear, and you've got to test it.
Amen.
And I'm not going to tell you how to think about it. I'm not going to tell you what to think about it. I'm just here to tell you to think. You had better think. Our nation is in the condition it's in today because we have a bunch of mindless sheep.
Amen.
And they are not thinking.
Amen.
And they're taking everything they're told to think. And they just eat it like a dumb sheep. I was one of them, folks. I'm not up here just blambasting. I was one of those people. And you start questioning the reality. And Brother Walt was up here a couple weeks ago, and he brought up the thing with the Confederate battle flag. Folks, that flag didn't kill anybody. That's a distraction to make you stop thinking about what really happened that day. That punk that went in that church and shot the place up, if it actually happened the way we're even being told it happened, they don't tell you about the psych meds. They don't tell you about his history. They show you one picture of the guy holding a Confederate flag. Why? So you'll get off subject. And you become putty in their hands. And they can... Huh? Yeah. They don't talk about the fact that the church had nobody in there with a gun. It's called a gun-free zone. Folks, it's a gun-free slaughter zone. Add the word slaughter to the gun-free zone and you've got the reality. How insane is it for our military men to be unarmed? We are making our military men sit unarmed, sitting ducks, waiting to be killed by any Muslim who decides he wants to kill them. I'm not shocked by what happened a couple of days ago. I'm shocked it doesn't happen every week. And the people who run this country are so wicked and some of them so stupid that I think that even if it happened every week, they would still say, well, Islam's really not the problem. And, you know, I still don't think we should arm our military personnel. They'd still do it. Well, he's calling it domestic terrorism. And it's not domestic. It's a foreign enemy. And it's just like in World War II. We weren't fighting Germany. We were fighting Nazism. And we're not fighting a particular nation. We are fighting Islam. And it is Islamic terrorism. And it's actually insane for me to think I have to actually even say that. It is so insane. It's like having to explain to people that Nazism was the enemy in World War II. Nazism was the enemy. And those who joined the Nazi party became the enemy by joining the party. Islam, no matter what the liars in chief, including all the way back to Clinton, Bush, and now Obama, every one of them are liars. The enemy is Islam. But let me tell you, they're not the only enemy. Because there is a huge group of globalists all over the world who want war because that's how they get rich. And we're going to talk about it some more in just a minute. Believe it or not. But verse 8, it says, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. Now, this is something, another thing. People don't have, it seems like it's hard for people to get. False gods are actually devils.
Amen.
Allah is a devil. That fake Mary at the Catholic Church is a devil.
Amen.
That Michael statue down at the Catholic Church is a devil. Amen.
Amen.
False gods equal devils. And that's not my opinion, that's the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20 says this, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. Whether it's burning incense, whether it's saying prayers, whether it's giving money, whatever it is, that sacrifice, whether it's a sacrifice of praise or a sacrifice of substance, that sacrifice is a sacrifice made to devils, if it's made to any other god than the God of the Bible.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to tell you this. I know I'll get in trouble with some people that say that. I still believe this. There are a lot of Christians who go in Christian churches and you got a nice big crucifix with a naked man on it. That's a devil. Jesus ain't on no cross. And He didn't ask you to look at Him on a cross and a graven image and to offer things to Him. Only a devil asks you to do that. And that white dude on the cross ain't your Savior. A white man didn't die for your sins. A Jew who is probably as dark as some of you all today from the sun. You take me, I'm not even Jewish, but I have the Semite blood in me from Cherokee. And when I was a kid, I mean, I got so dark. When I was 19 years old, I was in Florida and people would come up and they thought I was Mexican. And my mustache was a little thinner. It's like a pencil mustache. People come up, you know, I'm not making fun. I'm just, this is my imitation of what happened. They come up speaking Spanish. And I, whoa, feller. I just moved down here from Southern Ohio. I have no idea what you just said. If you could repeat that in English slowly, we can communicate. Thank you. I mean, I did that over and over while I lived in Fort Lauderdale because I get so dark and everything. I looked just like I did. I'd go walking around the Mexicans that had come across the border, I'm sure illegally. And I'd hang out a little bit, you know, and I'd talk to them in English. I worked with some of them, and they'd joke about it. They say, you gotta come over the house. If they're right in, I think you're family. So whether you're talking about ancient or modern gods, notice it's a small g. Now, this is what it used to look like. You know, they'd have a brazen cow or something like that. And by the way, there's some bad ones, Molech. And they would heat him up so that his arms would get scalding hot, and they would. It was an ancient form of abortion. They would throw their babies on his arm. And then in order to drown out the screams of the babies, they'd play drums really loud. And so the drums, they would have a rock concert, and the rock concert would drown out the baby screaming. Some people would be transported back to days of Moloch, and they'd feel right at home. But this is another thing here. It's the baby and the child... Semiramis, is that how you pronounce it? Nimrod, the child mother cult, Babylon, and there's your Pope Francis that the whole world loves. Beware when all men speak well of you. The whole world loves that guy. He's a pagan idolater. He's offering incense up to this goddess devil. Oh, this would be Islam. A bunch of people marching around this black building down here, this Kaaba. You know why? They're worshiping a black rock, a moon rock. And right down the corner, one of the corners of this building, I think it's right there, you can actually go and there's this thing that I'm not going to tell you what it looks like, but you just look at it and you'll see it's a sex cult. And these men go and put their hand inside that thing to touch the moon rock. That's Islam. They worship a rock. All these people are walking around saying prayers, and it's all about that rock in the Kaaba. Doesn't matter what it is. There's no way to explain such things except that it is spiritual blindness. It's not an intelligence thing. You can talk to some of those intelligent people in the world, and then they'll say, oh, it's time to pray five times a day. Some of the most intelligent people in the world won't sit on a toilet in certain places if their rear end is facing Mecca when they sit on that toilet. That's Islam. They have gone into prisons and tore out the restrooms and redid them so that when the Muslims would sit on the toilet, their rear end wouldn't face Mecca. Millions of dollars spent. That's not an intellectual problem. That's spiritual blindness. It is such spiritual blindness that leads a nation to elect leaders who strike deals with the devil and arm our enemies with nuclear weapons. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Your president is a friend of the enemy. He's going to give about $5 billion to our enemy and help them develop nuclear weapons. He ain't the problem. It's the people who vote for people like that that are the problem. I keep hearing Christians say, oh, what we need is for everybody to stand up and rally against it. I'm like, Did you not see the statistics? The first election, he won by 10 million votes. The second time, 5 million. People in this country aren't going to rise up. They'd have no clue, and most of them don't care. As long as they are happy and they can go about their daily lives, that's all that matters. Words cannot describe this sort of insanity.
Iran's supreme leader says his country's newly brokered nuclear deal will not change Iran's stance toward the U.S. During the speech marking the end of Ramadan, Ayatollah Khamenei said the nuclear deal must go through a legal process before being approved, and he asked that Iranian officials put national interests first. The supreme leader declared that Iran will continue to support Syria and its other allies, whether the deal is approved or not.
Our policies will not change vis-a-vis the arrogant government of the United States at all. Death to America, death to Great Britain, death to Israel, death to the hypocrites. The hypocrites meaning the MEK, and finally death to Israel. As we have repeated multiple times, with the United States, we have no talks vis-a-vis regional issues.
Khamenei's remarks were greeted by chants of death to America. As Iran's supreme leader, he has the final word on all policy matters, foreign and domestic, including that nuclear deal.
This is set up, and this is my opinion. This isn't Bible. This is my opinion. But I believe they've done this because it puts Israel in a situation where Israel will have to pull the trigger. Therefore, when the war that they want war. And when the war they want starts, they can blame Israel. And if you look at every war, that's how America has got into the wars. Wilson needed a good excuse to get into the war. So what was it called? The Lusitan. Lusitania was bombed and killed a bunch of Americans. And that gave us the excuse to get into a war that he had run and was elected with the promise that he would not put American men into that war. Then comes FDR, who said that anything that happens in politics is not by accident. If it happened in politics, it was planned. That's FDR, quote. He was told ahead of time that we're going to be bombed by Japan. And they suspected Pearl Harbor was the target. So if you look at the history, you'll find out FDR put everybody on leave, had no one standing by ready to fight. Everybody was out partying. He had the ships set up under a certain circumstance that they'd actually sink easier, and he knew it. And that's not even in question anymore. We have the documentation. FDR knew it was going to happen. He let it happen because he wanted an excuse to get in the war. Now, same thing's happening now. America is run by banksters, and they need a war to make their money. And they fund both sides, but they need an excuse for a war, and so now, if Israel bombs Iran and Iran responds with Russia and other countries, they have their excuse for their war. You and I are nothing but cattle, and they want to make money, and they don't care if they have to slaughter the cattle. Fact, fact, fact. And only a devil in skin would make a deal to put nukes into the hands of such a wicked regime that is calling for the death of your nation, calling for the death of America, along with our allies. But this is the key point. And only a nation of spiritually blind people would elect such a devil. Now, that's just an example of how dumb human beings are without the Spirit of God. I posted on my page last week, quote, "People are stupid." End quote. I didn't say everybody else is stupid. I include myself in that. But it's pride. Pride that makes a man say, not me. Not me. Yes, you. You and I are by nature wicked, stupid people. It is only by the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit in us and the power, the life-changing power of the Word of God coming into us, that we stop being stupid. And folks, I've showed Jenny these people that I grew up with in the 70s and 80s who were Sunday school teachers, were Awana workers in the church I grew up with, are now out of the closet homos. Some of them, one I showed her is now a medium involved in the occult.
Wow.
That all you have to do is turn away from that book and be full of pride, and 5 or 10 years down the road, I'll be talking about you.
Yeah, right.
Not saying I'll name your name, but if I need to, I will. To warn others not to follow you.
Amen.
And humans are always reverting back to pagan devil worship and works for salvation.
Yeah.
Once you get away from that book, you will revert back to that. Not a question. Oh, it says in verse 9, read that. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? It's what you see every time people get away from the Word of God. This does not just involve going back to pagan gods. The Messianic Hebrew Roots movements also attract Jewish and Gentile believers like a magnet. It's not just to go out all out pagan, but there's also this desire to go back under the law and the Old Testament law and the Feast of Israel. That's why he says in verse 10, "Ye observe days and months and times and years," because that's the Jewish system. And folks, there are people that you know today are professing Christians, but they just cannot live under grace. And they've always got to go one way or the other, under the law or back to paganism.
Yeah.
And you see it all around you if you open your eyes to it.
Yeah.
We can see the direct references to days and months and times and years in Scripture. Days, you don't have to run these references, but here's an example of each one. Exodus 16:26. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. Then there's months. Exodus 23:15 says, "Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee, in the time appointed of the month Abib. For in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty." Times, you saw that reference. Exodus 23:14 says, "Three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year." And in Galatians, it also mentions the keeping of years. Leviticus 25:13, "In the year of this Jubilee, ye shall return every man unto his possession." So there you go. And we're going to study the Feast of Israel and look at the proper understanding application in another time. But for now, let us be clear about one thing. Christians are told not to keep the observance of the Feast of Israel. Read Galatians 4:9 and 10 again. "But now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God," look, "how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years." The observance of days, months, and times and years is clearly referred to as bondage.